This is in Bishalach. This is where the event took place. In other words, the story of Amalek is found really in two places. It's found once in Parshas Bishalach. There it tells the story of what actually transpired. And then in Parshas Zachor, at the end of Kiseitse, it talks about the mitzvah of Zechiras and Mechias Amalek.
Parshas Bishalach doesn't tell you about Purim.
Parshas Bishalach, at the end of it, tells the mice of Amalek, when Amalek attacked the Jewish people. But after you're going to read that Parsha on Purim morning. You're going to read it on Purim morning. And since we're not going to meet next Friday, right, so...
Oh, yeah.
Because it's Purim. It's Purim. Oh, and what do we call it?
It's early.
Right. It's a show. Okay.
What time? 1 o'clock in the morning?
No, dear. In any event... So what does it say? It says here in Parshas, in Shmos, in Bishalach, on the top of page one there, it says, Vayisu kol adas b'nei Yisrael min bar sin l'mas'ehem al pi Hashem v'yachanu b'refidim v'ein mayim l'shtos ha'am. They traveled mimid bar sin, right, al pi Hashem, and they encamped at refidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. There's a lot to talk about in every pasuk here, but we're not going to deal with everything because just the phraseology is very strange, right? Ein mayim l'shtos ha'am. Okay, it's obviously explainable. Vayikra sham shem hamokom maso umeriva. Right, I skipped a few pasukim, and they called that place. Yeah, they called it maso umeriva, testing and arguing. Right. Al Riv B'nai Yisrael, right? They fought with Moshe, right? We have any water to drink? What's going on over here? Va'al Nasosam Es Hashem, and they, as it were, tested.
Testing and fighting?
Yeah, fighting and testing. So they fought with Moshe, and the reason was they're testing Hashem. How are they testing Hashem? Lemor Hayesh Hashem Bekirbenu Imayim. Is Hashem in our midst or not? So let's take a look here. Basically, what we're going to do here is we're going to use a few of Parshim, but basically we're going to look at it through the eyes of the Hamikdavar for the Nitziv. Right?
I guess we just have to wait while you're bringing that up.
Okay. But Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu. So says the Nitziv there, right? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im'ayin. Hadavar pele. It's an amazing thing. Eich nistapku achrei roam. Right? Amud, that's spelled incorrectly. Amud Eish Va'anan Va'od Harba Nisim the Kula Alma Yadi the Lo Avid Ela Kuchibrichu V'gam Farksi V'ayaminu V'Hashem V'Moshe Avdo. How could it be? How could they be asking Hayesh Hashem B'kirbeinim Ayin? Is God in our midst or not? What type of ridiculous statement is that? Because they just left Mitzrayim. It says they crossed Yamsuf and they saw, what do you call it? They said, Vayaminu Vashem of Moshe Avdo, they believed in Hashem and Moshe's servant. So what do they want? I mean, why, how can they possibly have a suffix? How can they have a doubt? Why are they asking Hashem, Hashem, Bikirbeinu? Right? Omnam, Yesh Alze, Shnei Ofanim Tzodkim. The two ways to explain this, he says. Hu, Shiyedu, Shiyodu Heitev, Shekeis Hashem Holech Imam V'Osen Nisim. Of course they knew that Hashem was going with them and doing Nisim. It was ridiculous to think otherwise. Aval Kol Zeh Eino El Ba'od Moshe Chai V'Kayim V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Molech Liyamin Moshe Zroa Tifarto. They thought that perhaps this Hanhagel where Hashem is guiding them B'derech Nisim is only relevant as long as Moshe is around. Right? It's only relevant as long as Moshe is around. Moshe is on a whole different level than they are. Right? This is part of the issue that generated the making of the golden calf. Moshe's gone, you go into a panic, we've got to find some other intermediary. Right, this is before. We're saying this sort of issue over here, this sort of issue of thinking that we can't do without Moshe. It's an interesting thing. Mitzad Echad, one of the Yud Gimel Ikrei Amuna is to believe in the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's not just that they're Nevi'im. And not just the Torah's Mishamayim, but to believe that, what do you call it, that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is different from every other Navi, and he's the one who brought the Torah down. The idea being, because there are lots of ways I guess you understand, but one of the ideas is to believe that only Moshe could have been the conduit to bring the Torah down, right? from Shemayim. When we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu as being the greatest Navi in Parshas Balosa and Sefer Bamidbar, so that's spoken about in the context of Moshe Rabbeinu being the most unav, the most humble of any person. And the, he made himself into a blank slate vis-a-vis his Avodas Hashem. All, what he called, his whole being only revolved around his being an Ovid Hashem. He had no other agendas. He had no other egocentric agendas. That's why it says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw everything by spaklaria mi'ira. He saw through a clear glass, right? As opposed to what they refer to as a spaklaria she'ena mi'ira, which is more mirror-like, or even a clouded glass. You may be able to see through the other side, but unfortunately what you see a lot is a reflection of yourself. Unfortunately, that's the case. Moshe Rabbeinu saw through a clear glass. His ego didn't get in the way of anything. He's totally self-effacing in his commitment completely to the Rabbeinu Shalom.
It was at your place, you did.
Right? Oh, yeah, but yesterday, I got a new grandson.
Oh, Muslim.
My new grandson.
Muslim.
Poriyet, boy, on Moshe Rabbeinu's your side.
Very nice.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Okay, Nazul and Neil. So anyway, so Moshe Rabbeinu, so they understood Moshe Rabbeinu was a completely different type of person. Problem is that they made a false assumption, and that is that not only is Moshe Rabbeinu the conduit of bringing down the Torah to this world, right? But even after the Torah is here, they can't manage without him. They can't manage without him. Right?
Interpreted to them.
Right. So he says what he called, they assumed that therefore, in order to be able to manage this level of Hazgacha, which, you know, all constant reasoning all the time, that's the Moshe Rabbeinu's around, but the minute Moshe Rabbeinu's gone, right, we're finished, our goose is cooked. Aval, lola olam chosen Moshe, kaim b'Yisrael, Moshe's not going to be forever in the Jewish people, so what are we supposed to do after Moshe Rabbeinu's gone? Va'anu mechuyavim la'amin shegam bli nisim niglim HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'ashgachoso shor b'kirbeinu. But our chiyuv is to believe that even when Moshe Rabbeinu is not with us and we're not living on a madrega of nisim gluyim, but that Hashem's hashgacha is with us all the time. This idea of hashgacha pratis, right? Hashgacha pratis, based upon our actions. Hashem is doing everything. There is nothing that Hashem is not doing. He's doing everything. Everything that exists and everything that happens is only a function of His will. Everything that exists, objects, are just solidified actions, as it were. There's no difference between an action and an object. Everything that happens, transpires, and everything that is, and that's why in Lashon HaKodesh, Tachlukublani, right? That's why we recall them from my Rebbeim. That's why in Lashon HaKodesh things are called Dvarim. We've talked about that before. They're called Dvarim, talkables, right? You wouldn't say that in any other language that an object is a talkable, a Davar. We Lashon Dibur, to speak. Why? It's only because we believe that, and we know that everything that is because Ki Bedvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu Baruch Piv Kol Tzvam. Because everything exists because Hashem wills, He says that it should be, and therefore it is. It is, and that's why it is. So we have to believe that even though Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who was capable of bringing the Torah down to us, but Mitzad Sheni, once Hashem's word is here, His Hashgacha is here with us. So we've got to believe that we also can be subject to Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis. In other words, the degree to which, like I said, everything is Hashem's will. Everything. But if you're not marching to the beat of the drum of the Torah, so the vast majority of what happens to a person, right, is being determined by how he fits into the big plan. Again, every person is being judged according to who he is. But the backdrop, the canvas upon which all this is taking place, is how does he fit into the big plan? Once a person is more dynamically attached to the Torah, right, so that he's zocher to what we call hashgacha pratis based upon his actions. In other words, he himself is a work in process. I mean, everybody's a work in process, but his being a work in process is what he called is the major determinant of what's going to happen to him. as opposed to the major determinant of what's going to happen to him, how does he fit into the big picture? Everybody's got a piece of big picture, a piece of their own personal development. The question is what we call, which is the predominant part of the person? So the degree to which a person is plugged in, some people plug in and it fries them. Right, the degree to which a person is plugged in, so the predominant part of Hashem's hashgacha upon him is tailor-made according to his what he's doing, his growth, his interaction. It becomes more bilateral, as it were. Yeah, with the Rabbon Shalom. Whereas the person who's, you know, he's la-di-dying, he's not, got no concerns, he's not thinking about anything, he's, you know, his brain is on automatic pilot, you know, his heart's full of tofu. So then he's called the majority of what happens to him. Again, it's all Hashem's will, right? But it's the predominant part of it is being determined by how do you fit into the big picture? How do you contribute to whatever else is happening over here? Or maybe how do you contribute to people who are plugged in? Right?
What's the big picture?
Whatever the goal that Hashem's name will in the end will be revealed as one, but that's a very long story. This was their suffix. Is Hashem in our midst? Bli koach Moshe. Is Hashem in our midst without Moshe? Umashgiach aleinu b'halichos hateva, right? Is he going to be mashgiach upon us? Is his divine providence going to be involved with us? B'halichos hateva, even using the methodology of Teva, without nisim gluim, without sound and light show, you know, bang bang, you know, hailstones with higher fire inside of them coming down, you know, seas splitting, etc. Right? Is he going to be there for us, even when we, who are not worthy necessarily to live on the same spiritual level as Moshe Rabbeinu, we're living more in the world of Teva, more preoccupied, like, you know, what time is Walmart open, etc. So then we go, is he going to be with us? And because they didn't believe that Hashem was in their midst, right, under those circumstances, that brought about Milchemes HaMolek. B'yichud, kasha yivur lefanenu, as we will see, as it will be explained. Shenis, another thing, yistapkum yodei Hashem masha bekirbom. They also doubted whether Hashem knew what was cooking inside of them, instead of what they were feeling, what they were thinking, what they were experiencing. Okay, there's another thing. He says that the two sides of the same coin, but I think let's stick with mostly with the first answer. Next, pasuk ches. We're still here in Bishalach, at the end of Bishalach. Vayavu amolek, vayilachim im Yisrael berafidim. Vayomer Moshe el Yehoshua, b'charlanu anoshim, etzei ilachim amolek. He tells Yehoshua, go get the people to fight against Amolek. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on top of the mount. Chur and what he called an Aaron hold his hands up, what he called Jewish people. They look at Moshe's hands raised up towards Shemayim, and they remember to daven, right? They remember to daven. Moshe is a source of inspiration for them to daven, once again, showing that it's not dependent upon what he called on Moshe, right? It can be dependent upon you. When you daven, that's what the Mishnah asks. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah asks, "V'chiyodav shel Moshe osos milchama or shovros milchama?" Are the hands of Moshe making milchama or breaking milchama? So the Netziv asks, I don't even remember, I put that one over here or not. I don't know if the Netziv asks, he says, He asks, he says, what, over here they ask this question, Moshe Rabbeinu makes nisim for them all the time. So all of a sudden, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hands. Oh, do you think Moshe Rabbeinu's hands are making the milchama or not making the milchama? Like, why not, Mr. Rogers? Yeah, why not? Why not? He split the sea, he did the Makos, he brought down the Mon, he's using that staff all the time, bang! Boom, 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 boom. Right, claw. And the hell of a sudden, you think his hands are doing this? Why not? But because, says the Netziv, I think, I don't remember if I put it down here or not. He says, because here that was the whole question. The whole problem was, is that they didn't believe that they had Hashem in their midst. They believed, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu's here, he's ready, he's the big cheese, it's all coming through him, and we're left to chopped liver. Right? It's not going to go through us. So what would it help for Moshe Rabbeinu, right, to raise his hands, yeah, and bring down special, you know, anti-Amalek, you know, kryptonite meteorites to come downstairs and turn them into, you know, melted hot apricot jelly, right? Right? Like what would it help? What would it help? That's self-defeating. Right? That's what the Mishnah asks. Moshe Rabbeinu raised his hands. Ah, do you think it's Moshe Rabbeinu who's really close hands and doing it? That'd be ridiculous. Why would he do it? That's exactly what he didn't want to prove to them. Elamai, he raised his hands towards your mind. Guys, turn towards your mind. Tefila, we're all together in Tefila. They were Meshabed, Libam, Lavim, Shemaim. That's when they were Minaseah. So then Vayachlosh Yehoshua, and Pasuk Gimel, Yehoshua weakened this Amalek, this Amalek Yicharev. Right? Fine. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. There's so many questions here, but whatever. Okay. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Ksov zo zikaron b'sefer. Write this down. Yeah? As a commemoration inside the sefer. V'sim bozne Yehoshua, and put it into the ears of Yehoshua. Kimocho emche. I will erase. This is not what we're going to read on Shabbos. This is what we're going to read on Purim. Because here it doesn't say the mitzvah to us to remember to destroy Amalek. Here it says write it down in a sefer, right? Write down a sefer. The same thing as near Yeshua, and Yeshua, we put it into Yeshua's ears, he should hear it very clearly. Yeah? Ki machol emche, I will erase Amalek, says Hashem. I will erase. Ki machol emche es zeichar Amalek. Mitach Hashem, I will erase Amalek. It's a little bit funny. Who's going to erase him? We're supposed to erase him, or Hashem's supposed to erase him? If Hashem's saying he's over here, he's going to erase him. So why are we going to read in tomorrow, right, in Shul, yeah, Zachor, and the Machot Timcha, you should erase him. Who's going to erase him? Asar Hashem. It says in Etziv, Nak Amek Dovim, Ksov Zov Sikorim B'Sefer. This is also an amazing thing. Write it in the Sefer, like Boker Tov Benita, right? Isn't the whole Torah is written? Here's why the Dafka this. Everything's written. Ksov Zov Sikorim B'Sefer. Masha omer lecha ki macho emche tichtov b'sefer v'gam sim bozne Yehoshua ze ha'inyan, says the Nesiv, v'vi shenirehu miyutar. This looks unnecessary. Sharei kol dvar Hashem l'moshe nichtov b'sefer Torah. Everything Hashem said to Moshe was written in the Sefer Torah. So it's like maybe we should write on every mitzvah in the Torah. We should write before we say give the commandment. Ksov zos zikaron b'sefer. Write this in the book. And now here's a mitzvah. Why was all of a sudden over here? You hear? Good question. No. It says ksov zos zikaron b'sefer. Where's it go? Ksov zos. Write this zikaron b'sefer as a commemoration in the book. I mean, in the Torah. Everything that Hashem said to Moshe is written in the Torah. So maybe every time Hashem says something in motion, we should write, we should have a pasuk prologue beforehand. Write this in the book, and then say it in Moshe. Write this in the book, say it in Moshe. We have at least, what do you call it, 613 more psukim in the Torah. Because you have to have a pasuk before, so those are the safer. Right? And now this. Of course you can write in the Torah. Everything that Hashem said to Moshe is written in the Torah. So why, of all things, after this, point this out and say, write this, don't forget, write this in the Torah. Gam lidvar Hashem sheyichtav lizikaron, v'gam inyan simbos neyosh inyan. That's also a misprint. Inyan simbos neyoshua ainu mebuar. What does it mean? Put it in his ears. Make sure he remembers it. What's the issue? Aval mitchila yesh levayer guf ha'maimer. First, we have to understand what does it mean. Ki macho emche ezeich amalek. I will erase Amalek. Im hakavana lemalchus Amalek.
He's giving an explanation of why it says
macho emche. What does it mean, macho emche? What is it telling you? Like I said before, we got in Parshas Kiseite that we're going to read on Shabbos. We're going to say macho timche that we should destroy him. Here Hashem is saying I'm going to destroy him. Well, who gets first dibs, right? Im hakavana lemalchus Amalek. If it's talking about the kingdom of Amalek, right? Al ma kovu chazal mitzvah zechira zu ledoros. Acha shekvar nimches malchus harasha zu me ha'olam. Right? If it's talking about, right, how could if it's talking about the destruction of Amalek, the destruction of Amalek, so then how could we have a zechira, how could we have a commemoration after we feel the pasuk? Now, let's say we fulfill the pasuk. We destroy them totally. We destroy them totally. Mm-hmm. So what's the idea? There's a mitzvah in the Torah to remember what they did. What's the point? What's the point? I mean, in other words, if, let's say, you destroy them totally. Let's say you destroy them totally. Okay, so the mitzvah's finished. The mitzvah's finished. You finished it. But what do you call it? But the mitzvah is a schirah to always remember. Why is the mitzvah always to remember? To destroy it. Let's say there are a few stragglers left. That we have to remember because there are a few people left. If the idea is that his name and his memory should be forgotten, right? It should be erased. We shouldn't remember anymore. Erase it. You shouldn't remember anymore. How can you forget it? You can't just say remember. you always say to remember it. So how can you? You know, the idea is to erase his name. Erase his name. He shouldn't be remembered at all, yeah. Right? But you got a mitzvah to remember him all the time. Remember what Amalek did. V'zei yefshar b'klal shrei Torah nitzesi v'havim azkaraso. He must grasp what he called. Remember, it reminds us all the time. Remember Amalek. Remember Amalek. So how can we erase his name if you constantly tell me to remember it? El akorcha hakavona to udas Amalek ba'olam. The goal, the world outlook of the destiny, the purpose of Amalek. That's what we have to erase, right? Dezeh borer shelo lachinam hisgara Amalek im Yisrael. Amalek didn't just start with Jewish people for nothing, right? Asher blisafek lo ne'alam imenu ki lo benafil ye yuchalo. They knew they weren't going to have an easy time with the Jews. Like the Medrash says, it's like jumping into a hot bathtub, right? And you burned your tootsies, right? You burned your tootsies because you knew you were going to get burnt. So why was he doing this, right? Lo nisabra riv lo lo. They were attacking him. El mishum shereishis goyim Amalek, like Rav Tzadok says, reishis goyim Amalek. They're the tincture of all the goyim. They're the essence of all the goyim. Amalek, right? Reishis goyim Amalek. The beginning, the shoresh, right? He's reishis goyim. I mean, think about it. Amalek is not the first of the goyim. Right, Amalek, after all, is a descendant of Esau. He came along much longer. How can you call him the racious going? But his philosophy is the essence, defines the essence of all those who were against what he called Klal Yisrael on the Torah.
Which is what? The anti-God?
Oh, so let's see. It's not just anti-God. Right? That's not so simple. Dvar Bilam, right? Bilam, call him racious going. Kach me'az yotzi Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. When the Jewish people first left Egypt, Torah, they were ready to receive the Torah, right? This bugged the nation's world out of their gazoo.
You said what?
It bugged them out of their gazoo. The fact that the Jewish people now are left Mitzrayim, through Nisim and it flows, paving the way to their receiving the Torah, is bugged the nations of the world. Why? V'amalek, right? Who reishis goyim, right? Hasone is hashgacha tachlis hasina. Oh, I got a lot of typos here. They hate the concept of hashgacha. They hate it.
Goyim.
The goyim. In other words, if God is going to every once in a while, yeah, from above, yeah, on top of, you'll excuse me for using the term, but what do you call this? The way they want to perceive it, like Mount Olympus, right? God forbid. Yeah, he's going to make a point of showing he's the big cheese every once in a while. That's okay. But then he should be involved in our daily life constantly, all the time. And that his involvement determines what happens to us based upon our actions. Oh no, I don't want that. That's making me nervous. That's the reason for a Percocet. Right? Right? That is not going to work for me. Right? Umasar nafsho alzeh. And Amalek was willing to be most nefesh for this, to fight, even if it cost them dearly, to prevent this from becoming, right, a world philosophy. That's what he's called, the source, the core of all the goyim. He wasn't the first one to appear, but his anti, right? That which the Jewish people project through the relationship with Hashem, i.e. the concept of hashgacha pratis, based upon a person's actions, he is totally anti that. And he'll do anything to make sure that doesn't become recognized. Shu harosh liros tovason shel umos olam lefi daita. He is the defender of the nation's rights according to the way they perceive, right, should be their destiny, should be that which they're entitled to, right? V'hivtiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised, ki tagia shah, the time will come, right, tagia shah, the time will come, this is Hashem promised, sheyimche zechra molek, that Hashem will erase zechra molek. What does that mean? Hainu tachlis tu udaso, right? The goal of his intent, the goal of his what he sees as his destiny. There will come a time where there'll be an end to anybody even being able to consider that a person's life would not be in sync with his relationship with Hashem. In other words, when Mashiach comes, right, it'll be totally, patently clear to every person who walks the face of the earth that everything that happens to them and everything that swirls around them and inside of them is only a function of their connection to Hashem.
Even non-Jews.
Right, even non-Jews. That's what we say. The record, right? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Like Rashi says in Parshas Veschanan, we who believe that Hashem is Elokeinu now, he's Mashkiach Alina Bashkach HaPratis, one day the whole world, right, will know Hashem is Echad. The whole world will know that nothing happens except by the will of Hashem, and it's totally in sync with what he called with people's actions. The desire, right? The desire to what he called to. He's the test. Just remember. What do you call it? It's not.
Why didn't he?
I hate to say this, but this reminds me of something that I experienced, I think, in sixth grade. We were immature.
Yeah.
Somebody else did it to me.
Really?
Yeah, okay.
You know what Trump wants to do? He wants to give teachers already guns to fight in school.
Okay, alright.
I thought that was going to
okay, thank you. Gun,
you thank that that's very nice. Just be able to shoot me.
Right, that's what we call it.
That'd be
okay.
Consoling.
Baruch Hashem. This is where we call the edge. Okay, this was this time after a station break.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And now we're
going to get.
No, dear. I've been keeping my finger here, so what do you call it? I thought this would help. I see it. I might as well print a fourth copy. Didn't help.
You want okay. The save on the paper?
No, that's okay. I didn't. Well, he's believing me. I was going to splurge on the extra paper. Okay. V'zeh yemotza Mashiach. Right? I'm sorry, what do you call it? Zeh rotzon yenishkach me'umas olam. This desire that we call not to feel Hashem, right, as if we're looking over your shoulder, right, will be erased even from the nations of the world. V'hai Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz, and then Hashem will be the melech over all the earth. V'zeh yemotza Mashiach, sheyagia b'mher b'yameinu. That's what happens when Mashiach arrives, b'mher b'yameinu. V'omar, Hashem l'moshe. So zosi karm the sefer. So why did Hashem tell Moshe write this in the sefer, right? To adam shemesaper lebeno, like a person who tells his son, eza meisa.
Why did Hashem?
Right, Moshe. Remember, to start off, this question was, why did he tell Moshe over here write right, this in a book? Yeah, the whole Torah is written in the book,
right?
So because he wants to make a point, this is unique among all the things, right? So zos. This idea of remembering, right? This idea of what Amalek is trying to promulgate, and that one day Hashem is going to erase this, and that's the destiny of all mankind, that they're going to realize that there is no free rides here, right? There is nothing that is not totally connected to Hashem's Hashgacha, and a person's actions will determine exactly what's going to be with him. That will be totally clear when Mashiach comes. Ki Adam shemesapi lebno, like a person who tells his son, he's a maisi lahavi libo lemusar. It's like you tell over your son, let me tell you a story, right? And that's in order to give him musar, right? That he should take heed, he should fix his ways, improve his ways, think about what he's doing, etc. When he comes to something that's really crucial, that it should be deeply rooted in his heart. Remember this, right? Right? It doesn't mean I want you to forget everything else, but I'm telling you here, remember, remember, this is crucial. I tell you a story, I'm not remember the whole story, but pay attention to this point. This point doesn't mean I think you should forget everything else, but this is crucial. The kol ka kol Torah aleinu liskor. Remember the whole Torah. I think Siva Sefer Torah by writing Sefer Torah. Aval Basher Anachnu Roim Shomra Kosh Baruch Hu Moshe Ksov Zol Zikar Besefer Alinu LaHaskil Sheish Tono LaHaskir ZeHainyan BiYosef. This requires major attention. Kihu Tachlis Amavukosh Yemale Chvor Hashem Es Kol Aretz. Because the goal of creation is that Hashem's glory is going to fill the earth, right? That means His presence is going to be recognizable. It's going to, as it were, be there for everybody. Everybody's going to know that what happens to you is completely dependent upon your relationship with Hashem. We have to believe it's going to come.
When you're drunk or not drunk.
Even then. Bias HaMashiach. V'alzeh Amar Od V'sim Bozne Yoshua Hu Hagodas Dovar Sod Shebezeh. Right? It's like telling you, it's like I'm whispering something in your ear. Sim Bozne Yoshua. Pay attention. So not only am I telling you to write it down, but I'm telling you through the way that I want to be exceedingly clear that this stands out in something that I want you to keep your focus on forever and ever. Ooh, Zman Haketz Shegola LeOzno. Right? That's what Hashem speaking to him about Lasi Lava, what's going to be. Vamuvan Shagam U Yigal Misha Roi Lakach. Right? And that he in turn should reveal this. Yahushua should teach these lessons, right? Especially what's going to be in the end to anybody who's worthy to it. Fine. So, continue. Then Hashem, but then what he calls Yahushua weakens them, right? Moshe's hands were stretched out towards the Shemayim, the people daven, Moshe weakened them, the Amalekim, right? And then Moshe Rabbeinu builds him his back, like Hashmo Hashem Nisi, and he builds...
What do you mean Moshe? They won the war, they lost the war?
They, what do you call it, they weakened them severely. What do you call it, there was still Amalekim left though, because we know that, right? But Yomek Yad Al Case Kar, right? He says the hand is on the case, the seat of Kar, Milchamal Hashem Amalek Midor Dor. The club of Hashem Amalek is going to be for generation to generation. So we discussed this before, right? Rashi explains Kiyad al Kiskar differently, but the Netziv brings a psikta, brings a medrash, that the Yad over here is talking about Kiyad al Kiskar, is referring to the Yad of Amalek. The hand of Amalek is Mechase, it covers, right? It covers Ka. It covers the Shem Yud Kei. So what he calls, says the Medrash, we'll synopsize here, the Medrash says, what's it comparable to? To a king who wishes to address, to be connected to his people. And comes along one shtunk, and he takes a screen, and he erects it so that the people can't see the king. And he says, just like you can't see the king, right? Because he's got his screen erected there. So the king can't see you. Says the Netziv, that the fundamental idea of this medrash is that's what Amalek wants. He's saying that there's no hashgacha, right? You want to believe there's a king there? Fine, whatever. Right? Like we know that the Gemara says in Menachos, right? That Hashem created the world using the Shem Yud Kei. It says Ki Bekla Hashem Tzur Olamim. With the Shem Yud Kei, Hashem created the worlds. What did He create? He created Olam Haba with Os Yud, Right? Because the tzaddikim, they are few, but they're humble, their head is bent like a little yud, single dot, head bent. And he created Olam Hazeh like the Os Hay. Right? How is it like the Os Hay? We've talked about this before. The Os Hay is bounded, right? On three sides, for the most part. The bottom is open. So that's the concept of Olam Hazeh is constructed in a fashion that if one chooses, one can see that one's life is bounded by Hashem's will. If one doesn't choose to see that, he can look at the bottom and say it's party time and go down the bottom. Right? He wants to, what do you call it? He wants to come back. He can't go back the way he came. Can't go back the way he came. Right? He's got to climb up the side and go into the aperture between the left hand leg and the ceiling. And that's called the Derech of Tshuva. It's not easy. You can't go back the way you came. Because in the natural world, there is no way to undo that which you've done. It's only you've got to do, you've got to go an unnatural route, which is the route of what he called Tshuva, and come in. So the Tzivri Kwa says that it's Siv. That's the idea over here. Do you want to believe? You want to believe that with the Amalekim, Kayad al Keska, the hand of Amalek covers the Shem Yud K. You want to believe that God created the world, right? You want to believe that He created what He called this world. You want to believe that He created a next world? Fine, whatever what you want. But the Vav K, the last two letters of Hashem's name, that's hidden. He's not involved in your life. And the Nitziv says that the Vav, the last Vav, the Vav, and the last Hey of the Shema Vaya refer to Hashem's Hashgacha. The Yud and the Hey in the beginning talk about His creation of the next world and this world. The Vav and the Hey at the end address the idea of His involvement in this world. The Vav being His involvement on the level of Nais, and the Hey is involvement on the level of Toch HaTeva. And you think about it, that's what the Jewish people were struggling with. Seder, they saw Nisim. I said, I'll convince them no Nisim. But they figured that's really cool, like we saw from the Nisim. That's all Moshe Rabbeinu is doing. He's a conduit for all that stuff. But we're not worthy of that. So the Nisim we're not going to have once Moshe Rabbeinu's out of the picture. And then who says the other one exists? Hayesh Hashem v'kibeinu Mayim. Is he their myth? Is he going to be with us when we're living a more natural life? Right? We have to go to the Makolot, we have to pay the bills, we've got a mortgage to pay. Is he going to be with us? Or is he not going to be with us? Amalek holds the spear because he doesn't see you. You don't see him. He doesn't see you. It's a dog-eat-dog world.
Dog-eat-dog world.
Right, dog-eat-dog world.
Dog-eat-dog world.
Right, I know you like
that. That's what my father told me.
Right, I know you like that. Woof, woof. Okay.
Dog-eat-dog world.
Okay, let's take off. Okay? So that's exactly what Amalek wanted to say. So we've got to look at the Mida Keneged Mida. They said, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu? Is Hashem with us? He's not with us. Who says he's with us? Who says he's really cool? He's not a myth. Who says he's going to be with us? This is all what he calls, this is all from Moshe Rabbeinu. You got to think a little bit. Hashem took the whole Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. What just what he calls, that Moshe Rabbeinu have something interesting to do for what he called for a year, right? Instead of giving a record study, he gave him what he called, he gave him take apart Mitzrayim for a year. It's for you guys. No, maybe he's not with us. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous conclusion. It's a ridiculous conclusion. And they paid the price for it. Amalek attacked them. If that's what you hold, because Vohu gives everybody Mida Keneged Mida. The way you look at the world, that's the way the world will, what do you call it? That's the way you'll be dealt with in the world. So that's all in B'Shalach. Right? Now, to what we're going to read on Shabbos. It says, Evan Shlema, right? This is the last pasuk before, we're not going to read this pasuk. This is the last pasuk before what we're going to read on Shabbos. Last Kupsukim, I said, the last Inyan. Right?
In this week's Parsha?
In what do you call it? In Parsha Zachor, the end of Kiseite. We start from here, from Zachor, from Pasuk Yud Zion, in Perikrofe, right? No, I'm just going to read you two Pesukim before that.
When are we going to do that?
Those two Pesukim?
Yeah.
We're not going to read them this Shabbos. We'll read them when we read Parsha Kiseite. It's not part of Parsha Zachor. Parsha Zachor starts over here in Pasuk Yud Zion. Okay. The pasuk says, "Evan Shlema v'tzedek yelach, Eifa Shlema v'tzedek yelach, Leman yarichu yamecha, al adama asher Hashem lokecha nosin lach." This is the mitzvah of honest and accurate weights and measures. Ki so'avatz Hashem lokecha kol osei ela kol osei avah. because it's an abomination to Hashem. Anybody does this, kolos avil. Anybody who does, right, an evil of this type, a distortion, a falsehood like this, right? You buy with lightweights, right? Right, and you sell with heavyweights. Then right after this is Zachor es Asher Asolecha Amalek v'derech v'teisim Mitzrayim. Then begins Parshas Zachor. Remember that which Amalek did to you when he left Mitzrayim. Says Rashi. Zachor es Asher Asolecha. Im shikarta b'midos. If you lied, right, in your midos u'mishkolos. Have a doeg migiruya oyev. You should be worried because the enemy is going to attack you soon. Right? If you have lied in weights and measures, then you should know the enemy is going to attack you soon. Shenemir mozne mirma tovas Hashem chivasrei ba zadon yveyavo kalon. Right? A person, as it were, who has falsified weights, etc. Right? Falsified scales. So that's an abomination, and right after that it says, after your intentional act of robbing somebody using false weights, measures, scales, etc., then a shameful situation is going to come upon you. Your enemy is going to attack you and debase you and lower you. Says the Hamid Gavar, Zohar es Asher Asolach HaMalek. Somach inyan la kodem perish Rashi al pimedrash and chuma im shikarta midas havidoeg migiru oyev. Right, bring down Rashi. If you lied with regard to your weights and measures, your scales, so you should be concerned that now you should know that the enemy is going to attack you. Bim came nira shamalik baba of a mishkolos. That makes it last sound like a Molech came as a result of what he called of false weights and measures. Right, and he says, Bupele, that's amazing. Sharilo, I have a midbar miskar. They didn't have so much commerce in the midbar. Wait, that's why Amalek came? They were having commerce? What commerce? They're living off a man. They're living with each other. Shebem mido to mishkolos. Aval inyan irvuar. Al pish and his boning. Al mashi. Fligu chazal and sechaz bobavasra. Listen to this. He brings Gemara and bobavasra. So perachasfina. Pechesam and beis. Listen to this Gemara. It says, "Ba'avon mishkalos," right? By Amar of Levi, "Kasha onshem shal midos." The onesh for false weights and measures is more severe me'onshem shal arayas than committing acts of gilui arayas. First of all, why are we connecting weights and measures to gilui arayas? And is it what you call more severe? It's not more severe. Right? For Gila Rice, a lot of times you get executed. You get executed for false weights and measures. Shizenema behen ale, right? By Gila Rice says ale, toivos ale, these toivos. Shizenema behen ale. It's a funny thing. Because it says ale by false weights and measures, like it says over here. Right, it says ki tovas Hashem lekach kol osay ele. We said right before in the pasuk says Zion kol osay ele. Right, it says over here ele, and it says by Gilui Arayos in Parshas Achrimot, it says hatoivos ele, these abominations. So they added a hey when they're describing the abomination of what you call a false weight of measures. They added a hey on, so it shows that that's more severe. Why, we don't know yet. We'll see. Mitzvah.
Where's the hey?
Here it says. Ki to'avas Hashem, an abomination, that's usually used for like the Gila Arayas. To'avas Hashem Elokecha kol osa eile. Eile. Here's the hey at the end. Eile.
So
these. Should it be? Ha'el. These. Like it says by the Arayas, it says ha'to'avos ha'el. These abominations. So they added a hey over here. Okay.
Are you going to answer the question now?
Soon. V'zenemer ben eile. Well, my mashma, what he called? What did this come and teach us? What's the Eila, etc.? Plus, also, you think about it, yeah, for Arias, you get Kares. You only get Kares for false weights and measures. So, there's one point out of here, a Meiri and a Marsha on that Gemara there in Bava Basra. The Meiri says, Yesh dvarim begzeres v'chamasim she'ein ha'tshuva metzuya b'hem. Why is it worse? The Gemara says over there that it's worse than arayas, because on arayas, because you can't do tshuva on weights and measures. So the pashat shot over there, the reason is because when you use false weights and measures, right, you're robbing the whole tzibur. How are you supposed to remember how to pay somebody back? So it's true that when someone robs the public, so there are ways to make amends, what you call it, you do public works, you build bridges, yeah, fix roads, etc., bathhouses, so that everybody derives some benefit from it. And that's the way to make amends for what you call for having stolen from the public. But the Miri has a different shot. He says, you know what the problem is with false weights and measures? Not just the fact that you can't figure it, because he says, why? Because you could make amends, you could do public works, you could do tshuva on that also. So why is it worse? He says, "Apimidish and kuma im." I'm sorry. Yishvam da da da. Nation da da da. Kachroy lahizayr behem biyoser umechalek ze onchem shel midot shrei mochem bechol yom v'lam lekamem bnei adam sheinu makirin va'af mi shegazol ve'en yodei lemi yizbayer va'af alpi shegazol ve'en yodei lemi yizbar bimekol shoser batikuna yair sheimasim shechol bnei olam nani mehem. You can do tshuva. You just have to do public works. Again, some people hold that's not the perfect tshuva. It's only a b'dievet tshuva, because you really don't know that you're helping the people that you stole from. But okay, fine. But he seems to say that's what you do. Right? So why is measures, weight, false weights and measures seem worse? It's not the sort of thing that people do tshuva from.
But you could do public works for Gilead Arias?
No, not Gilead Arias. No, Gilead Arias you can't. No, for stealing. Uh-huh. For stealing. The impression that you get first glance of the Gemara is that for Gilead Arias you do tshuva. Do tshuva. But whereas, what do you call it, when you do have false weight and measures, how are you supposed to pay anybody back? You stole from a million people. Right? So Gemara says that, what do you call it, that if what you do when you steal from a million people is you do public works. Right? Bridges, bathhouses, etc. So some say, that's okay, but that's not perfect. That's just, the best you can do under the circumstances. How are you supposed to know? Right? But the Miri says, no, why did I do that? So why is weights and measures worse than Gilead Arias? He says, because in weights and measures, it's not, people don't usually do tshuva from it. Because it becomes a part of their life, right? It becomes a part of their life. And therefore they don't do tshuva. Ein ha-tshuva metzuyah behem. V'lo'od, ela shikala be'enei ha-over, mitoch shiu davar mu'at. And also, people don't look at it as though being so terrible. What's a big deal? So I kind of took a couple of grams, gave him a couple of grams less. Big deal. So these are the sort of things that don't foster an attitude of, I better do tshuva. Give the rise, I know, I better do tshuva. But if there's other things, no, big deal. That's the way Miriam said. Marsha had something more. He had something that's very interesting. Marsha says, the Gemara says, why is it worse? How do we know it's worse? Because it says, kol osei eile. There's an extra hay, not just ale.
And the very, you don't do tshuva, is chorus?
No, and when you could get a rias.
And the very, you don't do, so if you don't do tshuva on other mitzvahs, on other assays, you're going to get chorus?
If you don't do tshuva, let's say you do guys in the Gala Rias, right?
Yeah.
He was over, and what are you doing with the Rias?
Oh, then you do tshuva.
You do tshuva. The other things are necessary also, but if you don't do tshuva, your goose is cooked. Right? The Marsha adds an idea over here, right? He adds an idea over here that there's an extra hay, right, in Eileh. He says, you know what the hay is referring to? The hay is referring to the hay of Olam Hazeh. Right? Like we said before, like by Amalek, Kiyad al Kes Ka, right? The hay is a reference to the way Hashem created Olam Hazeh, and the way that Hashem is Noeg B'derech HaTeva in Olam Hazeh, right? The last hay. He says,
Olam Hazeh?
Yeah, remember Olam Hazeh was created with Os Hay, right? And the last hay in Yudkei Vavkei is the way Hashem is Noeg B'derech HaTeva in Olam Hazeh. Right? And that's what the Amalek hides. So says, what he calls, he says, Remez Godla Koshi Beonish Amidos. It's the same as Hey, right? The Yotzei Averuzu Min Hey Akosha Betshuva Likonis Ba'al Pi Mash Because of Perikah Komet Etc. Shvul Rotsa Tiv Ta 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 Ta. Right? Like the Miri said. Like Miri says, it's a bunch of big deal. It's not like a, you know, I was a Chal Shabbos. It's not like, well, I was a Mikal Arayas. So I took a couple of grams. So in that way, that person doesn't do tshuva. He doesn't realize that he's destroying the hay, right? In Hashem's name. That Hashem is with us, yeah, in everything that we do. The meshing, the interlacing between our actions and his hashgacha, we're destroying the fabric because we're saying, oh, this is not important, you dummy, right? This is not important. That's what he called, that's part and parcel of your connection to Hashem here. Everything. You can't, there's nothing small or big. And that's why it's catastrophic. But if there's something big, so, oh, I better do tshuva. Something, well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Oh, fine. When the Apollo, when they attached to one tile, right, the whole thing blew up. It's only one tile. Yeah. And says the witty quote, says the Netziv, and says the Netziv, and says the Netziv, he says that's why it's considered worse than Gili Arayas, the Gemara says over there. Worse than Gili Arayas.
People won't do tshuva.
Right? So we won't do tshuva. Plus also, he says, what's the comparison? Says the Hamek the Netziv. The comparison to Gili Arayas, he says, people do Averas, the three cardinal sins, Gili Arayas, Shvichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah. Right, the worst of them all is Avodah Zarah, that we know. Right, the worst of Avera is Avodah Zarah, because it means like you've got no connection to the world. It means you have falsified, right, your presence in the world. You falsified the reason you're being in the world. You're over Avodah Zarah. A person is over Megillah Arayas. His tithe got the better of him, right? Taiva got the better of him, right? He's very good. He was overcome with Taiva. Right? Person Shofech Dami. He got what he called. The guy cut him off on the highway. We call it. That's it. Right? Get out. Right? Get out. You know, road rage. Right. Long way. But Avodah Zarah shows a fundamental glitch. Right? Right? You premeditated. I'm not going to live in God's world the way He wants. I'm going to live it my way. That's a fundamental, premeditated, thought out, right, overturning of man's whole existence. Avodah Zarah. As he says, when a person, right, if a person steals because he sees something very beautiful, he's overcoming this taiva to steal it. He saw a beautiful Ming vase. Right? He steals it. If what he calls, if a person, as it were, or a person, as it were, yeah, he gets angry with somebody and does what he calls, does, you know, whatever he does to him out of violence. Okay, bad, bad, bad stuff. But when a person plans, yeah, day in, day out, he's going to rob people, right, by making false measures, by putting a heavy thumb on the scale, right, day in, day out, he doesn't believe God's involved in his life altogether. It's like Avodah Zarah. So what's fascinating is, if you think about it, right, Rashi told us, yeah, in Bishalach, where the event happened, the attack of Amalek. Said, why did they attack, right? Because they said, is God in our midst? God's not in your midst? Fine, we'll see, right? The main disseminator of God is not in the midst of man's existence. Who's Amalek, he'll attack you. If you're questioning as to whether the God is in your midst based on Shkocha Pratis, then Amalek is going to come for you. That's Mita connected Mita. Here in Parshas Kisetze, in the mitzvah Zohar, with Parshas Zohar, the juxtapositioning of the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek, Zechiras and Mechias Amalek, is then juxtaposed to what? To false measures. False measures. Because also that guy doesn't believe that God's in his midst. Day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out. God's not watching. He's not watching. So it's interesting how, what do you call it? In the place where it happens and the place where we're reminded of it. Right? The place we're reminded of it with the mitzvah, right? We should always keep it, we should always know it, always do it, always remind ourselves of it. That's talking for all generations, right? So we're no longer living in a world, if we call it, of right after Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf before Matan Torah, is God in our midst, of God in our midst, etc. Right? The way that we keep God in our midst is through Torah and mitzvahs. That's through Torah and mitzvahs. That's how we keep God in our midst. Otherwise we forget. Otherwise, what do you call it? Otherwise, we get swamped by the, what do you call it? By the day in, day out. Day in, day out. Yeah. The grind of things. We forget. But if you keep the mitzvahs, then you're reminded. You don't keep them, then you fall into the same trap all over again. And finally, right? Finally, what did the Amalekim do? They, Asher Korcha Baderech, right? What does the Pasuk say? Pasuk says over here. Zechor es Asher Asolach Amalek. Remember what that which Amalek did to you? The next to last line on the page there. Baderech, when you're traveling, B'tzeichem Mitzrayim, you left Mitzrayim. Asher Korcha Baderech, right? Korcha. So Rashi says, Korcha is a lashon of what he called of Mikra, right? Or of carry. Right?
Mikra is
chance. In other words, because that's what they're trying to instill in the Jewish people, chance.
No,
right? Or else Asher Korcha Baderech. Right? Korcha Baderech. So Rashi says what they do, they record it's a lotion of wasted semen. Carry. Wasted semen. Right? Right? Or a lotion of Mishkav Zachar. In other words, the people who are thrown out of the Anan, who were thrown out of the, what do you call it, out of the cloud of Hashem's glory, as he was written. Those people, they, what do you call it, they castrated them, right? They castrated them, and they sodomized them. Asher Korcha Baderech.
Who?
The Amalekim.
Yeah.
They, what do you call it, Asher Korcha Baderech. So let's read the pasuk. Asher Korcha Baderech, something that this Korcha means. Rashi says it means carry, mm-hmm. right? Which is wasted semen, right? Kerry, mm-hmm. right? No fruits from it, right? And Rashi says, what he called it, by Yizaniv Bechokol Nechasholim Acharecha, they cut off Milos of those who were thrown out of the Anon and threw them towards the heaven, says Rashi, and said, God, you go take this, you want this, take it, right? And it says, Rashi also brings down, they sodomize them.
When
those Jews who were spat out, as it were, by the Anan. These were the weak Jews.
The Erevah?
Maybe some from the Erevah. Maybe other words, all the ones from the Record of Islam were weak. Maybe were infected by the Erevah.
I say they were traveling in the Anan Kavod, and right? Some Jews were in Zoker.
They remained under that protection. Why? Because they weren't connected. They weren't connected. And you were tired because you were weakened, right? Tired because you didn't have any water to drink, and you were weary from the road. And he wasn't afraid of Elohim. Amalek wasn't afraid of Elohim, the way Rashi understands it. The idea being that this is what they're trying to do. They stand for, they are committed to saying that God is not involved in our lives, right?
Wait, Amalek took them, sodomized them.
Right. So because what do they want? They want to show that their way of shaping the world is the way the world is. You're going to have to receive the way we shape the world. That's this idea of forcibly sodomizing them, right? Mm-hmm. Right, right. We're going to shape you. You're not going to shape the world. Your philosophy, your Jewish philosophy, is not going to shape the world. We're going to shape the world the Superman way, right? None of this, what do you call it, none of this, belief and what do you call it, in providence and what you do makes a difference. Like God is not involved in our lives. The vav and the hay are hidden. Tiyad al keska. Right? The throwing of the milos towards this heaven. What type of nonsense is this? Right? You want to, as it were, you want to perfect your physical world. You want to control your physical world because that way you think you're going to maintain a different relationship with the Creator. The Creator is not involved in our lives. Here, God, you want to take him. Throw him heavenward. Right? They stand diametrically opposed to what the Jewish people. The Jewish people say that the more connected you are to the Ribbono Shel'Olam via his Torah, his mitzvos, his ma'asim tovim, the more that Hashem is involved in your lives. And they say, we don't believe it, we don't want it, and it's not going to be over our dead bodies. And that's what it'll be. Right? And this happened to us when we were Aryef, no water. Remember back to Parshas Vayishlach, complaining, oh, where's the water? Is God in our midst? Is God in our midst? Viyageya, right? Oh, it's a long journey. Remember when Yaakov Avinu left right? When he left the Har HaBayis after he had his dream, Rashi says he recorded, he skipped away. He was so excited, right? He skipped away. He was so excited. We call it we call Hashem's connection with him. But when you get weak and you get weary, right? So then you become a subject for what we call it, for Amalek's attack. So the mitzvah is to remember what he did to us. The mitzvah is to remember how he's committed to erasing, right, the presence of the Jewish people, because the presence of the Jewish people is always a declaration that what you put in vis-a-vis your relation to Hashem is what you take out, is the way Hashem is mashgiach upon you. There is divine providence in this world. And it is achievable, right? It is achievable. And they who stand against this, right? We have to remember, Zachor es asher asolach Amalek, remember what Amalek did to you, but derech vetzeischem in Mitzrayim, on the path when you were leaving Mitzrayim, asher korcha baderech, he used every disgusting thing to do to make a point that we're going to shape the world, you're not going to shape the world, right? And everything in this world is chance, right? It's not really called, it's not divinely inspired because of the relation to Hashem. And who would call it, and who did they point, they were able to do it to the people who were weak, the people who were already called, the people who weren't vibrantly, dynamically involved with the Torah, right? They were able to do it to them. Of course, that has effect on the Jewish people, b'chlal. We see it happening to them, right? How's that happening? But it happened to them, right? We have to erase Amalek so they can't infect any part of the Jewish people, right, ever again. And we always have to remember what they stood for, what we stand for. Okay.
Can I make this?